praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee served the Lord faithfully for more than 70 years, culminating with his exhaustive commentary on the entire scriptures called Life Study of the Bible. We're happy to bring you recorded excerpts from his ministry. At the end of the program, we'll give you the website where you can find out more about the remarkable ministry of these two men. But for now, we hope you enjoy today's program.
Gary Kaiser has joined us once again for today's Life Study radio program. Welcome to the studio, Gary.
Thank you, Matt.
Gary, today we're coming to a chapter in the Bible that, in one sense, may be an easy one to skip over, Genesis chapter 19. It's an easy chapter to skip over because it is seemingly such a negative one. But really, God doesn't waste anything in the divine revelation.
That's right.
Why don't you begin by setting up today's Life Study with a little background on Lot and who he was.
Well, maybe we begin with his grandfather. There was a man by the name of Terah living in the land of Ur, the Chaldees. He had three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran had one son, Lot, and then he passed away, leaving Lot with his grandfather. Then at a certain time, the grandfather, Terah, took his grandson, Lot, his son, Abram, along with his son's wife, Sarai, and they went toward the land of Canaan. But on the way, they stopped in a place called Haran, and they settled there. Then Terah died there. Then Abram took Lot and went on to Canaan. By the time they got to Canaan, they already had a lot of flocks and herds and tents. And eventually, they grew to the point in their livestock to where they could not stay in one place together. So their herdsmen began to quarrel with one another. There were a lot of controversy between them. So Abram went to Lot and said, "Let's not have any fighting among us. Why don't you just choose where you'd like to be and separate yourself from me, and I'll go the other direction." So Lot lifted up his eyes, and he looked at the Jordan Valley. He saw it was full of good pasture land and water, plenty of water. So he said, "I'll go there." But there's an interesting statement in the scripture. It says, "Lot chose for himself the entire plain of Jordan, and he journeyed east, and they separated themselves from each other, and Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and moved his tent as far as Sodom." Quite an interesting statement, moved his tent as far as Sodom. Then there's another event where a king, Chedorlaomer, and three of his other companion kings went to war against five kings, among whom were the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then again, an interesting statement. They took all the possessions of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, and his possessions, and departed, for he was dwelling in Sodom. Quite a strong statement. He moved his tent there. Eventually, he was dwelling in Sodom. Well, anyway, Abraham went and rescued him and brought him out of that situation, and he moved back to Sodom. So that's the scene that we're confronted with. Here is a man that is referred to by Brother Lee as a defeated righteous man.
Thanks, Gary. Let's go to Witness Lee for today's Life Study.
Along with the record of Abraham, we could see there is such a negative record. For quite a long time, I didn't understand why in recording the life of Abraham, there was the need in the Bible to give us a record of such a poor history, the history of Lot. But the Lord showed me. He is wise, and in his divine revelation, he is quite economical. So every word in the Holy Bible is very important. The Bible says Lot was a righteous man. And not only so, Lot was even a godly man. But we all have to realize he was a defeated righteous man. He was righteous, but he was defeated. In other words, he was saved, but he was a defeated, saved man. Now, we come to his history. He was passively brought into God's way by others. By whom? Number one, by his grandpa. And number two, by his uncle. To be passive concerning your following the Lord. To be passive is not so good. Why Lot was righteous yet defeated? Godly yet defeated? Because he had a very, very weak start. The start of Lot in the spiritual things was passive, not a solid foundation. He never had God's appearing. When Jehovah God came with two angels, all the three went to Abraham, but only two angels came to Lot. God wouldn't go to Lot. Why God didn't reveal himself, didn't appear to Lot? He was not active in seeking God. Lot didn't have a direct, strong relationship to God. God doesn't respect any person, but God does respect how you behave. Are you passive with him or active with him? God surely likes day after day to appear to you, but do you seek after God? Do you have a heart passively and actively to seek God? If you do, I tell you, God will never fail you. He will come to you. Then he never took initiative in taking God's way. The Bible didn't say that he followed his grandpa. But the Bible did say his grandpa told him. There's a big difference. He followed, or the grandpa took him. He never took any initiative. His relationship with God was under the influence of others. When others were up, he was up. When others were down, he was down. He was just a piece of driftwood. Don't think Lot's drifting into Sodom was something out of sudden. No, it was not something out of sudden. From the very beginning, Lot had never built up anything strong. No. Why he was like this? Just because he didn't have a good start.
Gary, this is quite a story and an example that's surely sobering for us. Lot was commended even in the New Testament for being a righteous man, but this picture of his gradual drifting back struck me. I think we can all relate to this. What is it to drift as Lot did?
I think the history of Lot is really a great warning to every believer. I'm struck with the term a defeated righteous man.
Mm-hmm.
This indicates it's possible for someone who seemingly is God-seeking, a person that is seeking to be righteous, to be a holy person, to be caught up in the whole system of the world, in the self, in the flesh, with the result that he's fully defeated in his daily spiritual life. Lot was passive in everything concerning God. He was very active in seeking the pasture for his flock. He was very active in seeking a place to be safe. Mm-hmm. So he dwelt in the cities. Doesn't say he dwelt in the plain. Abraham dwelt in the plain, but Lot dwelt in the cities. Because later he will tell the angels that that's the safe place. He doesn't want to go up to the mountain where he might not be safe. He wants to be in at least a small city where there's some safety.
Interesting.
It is very interesting. So there's no indication that he ever had a definite dependence on the Lord, that he had a time with the Lord, that he experienced the Lord. Rather, he was a person who was seeking his own materialistic things, living according to his own satisfaction, and without any regard to God or to others. It appears that he did not have really a heart to seek after God in a positive and active way. Never seems that he took the initiative to spend time with God, and he gradually just fell away from following the Lord, drifted into Sodom. There's a portion that says that the men of Sodom were very wicked toward Jehovah. So he knew the kind of people they were, yet he was sitting in the gate of the city, seemingly a part of the leadership of that city, yet a righteous man, according to the evaluation of the scriptures, and a godly man in the sense that it says, God knows how to deliver the godly. So here is a man who has all the potential to be a man of God, who becomes a man of Sodom, a man of darkness, defeated in his righteousness.
Thanks, Gary. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
He left others' spiritual influence because of what? Of the material substance. When there was only one thing, that was the spiritual influence, Lot would put himself under it. When another thing came up, the material substance, when this came up, Lot couldn't withstand it. He drifted into a situation which was wicked and sinful before God. This is quite automatic. If you leave the source of the spiritual influence, surely you will go downhill. You could never go up. You will go down. Never, never be influenced to get yourself off the spiritual influence. That is dangerous. You know, the spiritual influence is more or less a protection to you. If you give that up, the issue of this will be just going downward. You read these few verses, you could see it was not that right way he entered into Sodom. No, he wandered toward Sodom. In spite of the fact that he knew Sodom was wicked in the presence of God, yet eventually he entered into that wicked situation. Now, by the way, I like to say, in Chaldea, you have a city of idols. And there in Egypt, you have a place of worldly riches and pleasures. And here, just beside the very place God intended for you to be, was the city of sin, Sodom. You see, the city of idols, the place of worldly pleasures, and the city of sin are a kind of triangle. we, the God called ones, are living right in this triangle. We got to be careful. Otherwise, we'll fall back to the city of idols, or we will go down into the place of the worldly pleasures, or we will drift into the city of Sodom. Lot drifted into the city of sin. He drifted. I do believe he was a piece of driftwood. God was merciful to him. God didn't let him live there peacefully, but he didn't accept the lesson. He was rescued from captivity by the Lord's overcomer, but he was not helped to come back to the way of God. I couldn't understand why after that rescue, Lot would even go back again. He was captured, and then he got the rescue. He was a stubborn person. Don't think the passive ones are very submissive. Most, nearly all the passive ones are the rebellious ones. But anyhow, Lot didn't learn the lesson, and he was not rescued back to God's way.
Well, Gary, Lot's situation and the environment that he was in does have much in common with today's society. And we at times feel the influence, but it seems that Lot lost his ability to withstand when he left the right source of his influence. What does this show us about the kind of source we must have in order to make it in this age?
I think we really need to pay our full attention to this question. Really is a matter of realizing that we're in a wicked and perverted generation. We are not a people who are living in a righteous society. Our society has been damaged greatly by the influence of the satanic operation in this whole world.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to realize it's an effort on our part. It's not a matter of hoping we're going to be kept. It's a matter of pursuing. Here in the scripture, we're told things like we need to be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth. Or in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Amen.
So here is a situation that has developed as a great warning to us. In Luke 17, the Lord Jesus said that when he returns, and he will return, the society will be just like it was in the day of Lot. That's a striking word. We're in a time when this society is experiencing the same kind of darkening influence that was there in the day of Lot. The people with whom we mingle is an important factor. It's going to have an impact on how we think, how we live, what we feel. So the burden of the Lord's testimony concerning Lot surely is designed to give us a warning that we should not easily or loosely choose the people we mingle with. And we should be very careful about moving away from, separating from those who care for us in the Lord. We need that fellowship with one another to maintain our walk with Him.
Really important. Thanks, Gary. Let's go back to Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
He went back to live in the wicked city, which was condemned by God and was to be destroyed by the judgment of God. He went back, not to visit, but to live there. When the two angels came to visit, he was sitting at the gate of the city. according to ancient custom, only the leading ones had the privilege to sit there. He became one of the leaders. He was settled there. Let me check with you. Suppose the Lord or the angel would come to you. Where would you be seated? Sitting at your tent door or sitting at the gate of the wicked world? This determines whether the Lord will come to you or not. Not only the Lord would not come to see him, even the two angels would not go in to stay with him. But it was still good that he begged, insisted, and eventually these two sin ones were kind merciful to stay with him. While the angels were staying in his house, the sodomites came to indulge in their lust. It's a shameful. Like the Bible says, it seems that they don't have a spirit. They are just animals. I feel so sorry. Lot would even sacrifice his two daughters. The sins of morality within Lot was dragged. But anyhow, we know God's sovereignty. The two angels injected into the situation. Lot, we don't need you to sacrifice your daughters. We just do a little bit. They smote all the sodomites with what? With blindness. It's quite meaningful. This indicates what? This indicates all the sodomites are blind. Sinfulness blinds people. What the angels did indicated the whole people in Sodom. They were just blinded in darkness. That rescued the family of Lot. His wife also saved from the destruction. But listen to this. She became a pillar of salt. What does this mean? You know, salt should be in the form of powder for use. When salt becomes a block, it is useless. And here, it is bigger than a block, a pillar. This was a sign that she lost her usefulness in the hand of God. So she became a sign of shame. Lot's wife was not lost. He was saved out of the destruction. But eventually, she became a shame. And the Lord told his disciples in Luke 17, remember the wife of Lot. The Lord warned us. There is the possibility we will be another Lot's wife. Beside the matter of salvation, there is another matter, not the perdition, not of being lost, but the matter of shame. When the day of judgment comes, will you share glory or shame? You have no share in perdition. Your full share is in salvation. But in addition to salvation, there is another thing, glory or shame. This is a warning example. We all have to see something here.
Gary, I guess any examination of Lot must include his wife. Although she was saved from destruction, she nevertheless lost her usefulness and became a permanent sign of shame. Would you explain the word here that we have no share in perdition, but may be brought to shame?
Well, it's interesting that in Luke 17, the Lord Jesus used the example of Lot, saying it was even as it happened in the days of Lot. They were eating, they were drinking, they were buying, they were selling, they were planting, and they were building. But on the day in which Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be the same way on the day in which the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, He who will be on the housetop and his goods in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And he who is in the field, likewise, let him not turn back to the things behind. Remember Lot's wife. Indicating that our possessions become a holding factor that will keep us from pursuing the Lord or from escaping the destruction. So she was redeemed, but she was not saved in terms of her living. Sodom became a place where she longed for. She turned back towards Sodom. The scripture also tells us that salt is of no use when it loses its taste. And in this case, because there is a failure to renounce the earthly things, they love the things of the world. They lose their function in the kingdom of God. They have no value to God. They have no value to man. They are shameful in their very existence. And eventually, they will have no part in the kingdom of God during the 1,000 years that the Lord Jesus will rule and reign on this earth. They will be in another place making up for their lack of their pursuing of God during that time. Though eternally redeemed, their testimony is zero.
Very sobering, Gary. Appreciate you coming in for this very serious program today.
Amen.
And thank you for joining us. We invite you to contact us at toll-free 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. On behalf of Gary Kaiser, I'm Matt Miller. Thank you for listening today.
This program is brought to you by Living Stream Ministry, publisher of the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. To find out more, we invite you to visit our website, lsm.org. There you'll find more than 600 titles from both authors available online. You can also listen to recordings of Witness Lee's spoken messages and see the full array of material that Living Stream has to offer. Again, that's lsm.org. Thanks for listening today.